Well, up till tonight, we've been looking at a very broad spectrum. We've been contemplating Jesus' love and his teaching with a special focus on his relationship with God, his Father. Tonight, we begin the second part of our journey, in a way, and we're going to start analysing that broad portrait of Jesus and analyse tiny details, and my hope is that we'll eventually fill out the picture again and look at the whole picture with much more insight. And so the steps, we're going to take three steps tonight, and they're tiny steps and they're very almost minimal things to say, but they seem to me to be the basic blocks on which, from the New Testament, we can build up to the portrait of Jesus. The first is Jesus, the just man. To my way of reading the New Testament, it's the most basic and the most simple thing that we can say about Jesus. In fact, it's last week's lecture, the matter of last week's lecture, and simply put in the perspective of the language of justice. So let's begin. And firstly, I begin by reminding you of the fact that the New Testament does call Jesus a just man. In the Acts of the Apostles, Peter says to the people, "It was you who accused the Holy One, the just one." Stephen, in his speech just before he was martyred, says, "Your ancestors killed those who foretold the coming of," and he describes Jesus, "the just one." And Paul, speaking before King Agrippa towards the end of the Acts, recalls the old man Ananias speaking to him in Damascus and saying to him, Paul, "The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the just one." And the term is used in other places in the New Testament. Well, let's then examine this word firstly to see what might the New Testament have meant when it spoke about Jesus as a just man. Let us go back to the Greek, because that's the language of the New Testament. There's a Greek word, dike, dike, and dike in Greek is the will of God, not in its transcendent mystery, but the will of God as realized on earth. So if that's what dike is, then a dikaios, a person who follows the dike, a dikaios is one, obviously, who carries out the will of God on earth, who is open to God's will. And the noun that's related to that group of words, the dikaiosune in Greek, is that quality of a dikaios, that quality which is characteristic of such a person, who is open to and carries out the will of God. The dike of God, that is God's will as realized on earth, is that which regulates what is right. Ultimately, the will of God determines what is right. And here we get into a range of words which you find frequently in the New Testament, and I do believe, I hope this isn't too academic for you, that they need to be analyzed to get their precise meaning accurately. The right, then, the Latin for right is rectus, and we have a number of words that come from that. a righteous person, which is the English translation of dikaios, a righteous person, righteous simply means wise as to what is right. Right, wise, is righteous. So a person who is wise as to what is right is a person who does right, and right is that which is ordained by God. And the noun righteousness, clearly, is the equivalent of dikaiosune in the Greek. A number of other words that belong to that group of words in English. To regulate is to make right. In fact, regulate and right come from the same Indo-Germanic root word, R-E-G, which means to rule. Recht. Right is that which is ruled, that which is regulated according to the divine plan or divine ordinance. And so words like regulate, rule, to rectify is to make something right. A rectification is a making right. Words like rectitude is exactly the equivalent in English of righteousness. Now that all sounds a little heavy, but let's add to it for a minute. On the other side of our language, we have the dike of God, the will of God, finds its expression in the law. That's what the law is meant to do. Any law is meant to regulate the dike of God. And the Latin word for law is ius, ius. And from that derive a whole lot of other English words with exactly parallel meanings. For example, a just man, exactly the same as righteous. A just man is one who acts according to law, a law which gives expression to the dike, the will of God. And justice, and now we're getting close to very important words in today's world when we're talking about these things all the time, justice is exactly the equivalent of righteousness. Justice is the quality of a just person. That characteristic quality whereby the person is concerned for what is right. Concerned to make right what is not in accordance with the will of God. And we have other words that, let me play with them for a moment and then I'll get back to the New Testament. The word judge, for example, comes from two Latin words, ius, meaning law or right, and it means either, and dicare, which is to declare. So a judge is a person who declares what is law, declares what is right, declares what is the will of God. To justify, a word that you have in a number of English translations in the Bible fairly frequently, to justify, and justification comes from two Latin words again, justus, meaning just, and facere or facere, meaning to make. To justify is to make something right. Justification, great big long Latinized word, simply means making right. And let me conclude that little language study with you there. I hope you can see that all these words, righteous, just, absolutely identical in meaning. To justify means to rectify. No difference. Justification is rectification, making something right that wasn't right. And the justice or the righteousness, all these words trace back through the Greek and the Latin and then way back into our Indo-Germanic roots to the will of God is the key, the hub of it all. So, Jesus is just. Jesus is righteous simply means he is a person who is concerned with the will of God, and he is someone who wants to act and help others to act in accordance with that reign of God, the kingdom of God. Go to a basic point now. This is simply revision of earlier lectures, but in using the language of justice. A person is just when his or her judgments are in accordance with the truth, the ultimate truth. Therefore, of course, now I do want to stress this for you because the language is often not used like this, and there's no other way to use it. When you say God is just, if this isn't clear, check me till it is. When you say in the Bible that God is just, you are saying that God's essence, what God declares to be right, are always true to who God is. God judges as God is. God acts according to his inner being, in accordance with that. And we have seen three lectures ago that the God of the Bible, Yahweh, the God of Jesus, is the Chesed Ve'emet, is the covenant love, redeemer, faithful. To say that God is just is another way, and a very powerful way, of saying we can be totally confident that God's judgments are always loving and always faithful. It has nothing to do with the measurements of our human law or our trying to get equity between good and evil and other concepts. They have a place, but they're not what's being spoken about when we speak of the justice of God. Some texts. Romans 3:4, beautiful text. God will always be true, even though everyone prove to be false. If you analyse that a bit carefully and see, that's saying an extra wonderful thing. Whatever you and I might do, however we might waver, however our judgments may not be in accordance with the truth, however our actions may not be just, may not be according to the will of God, God, says Paul, will always be true. Jesus' own words in the Beatitude section of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:45, speaking of his Father, giving people, to be reconciling people, to love your enemies, not to act according to the normal action and reaction of human so-called justice. He says, don't do that. Don't be angry. Don't. But be like God. Be like your Father. And then he describes our Father. He causes his Son to rise on bad men as well as good, and his rain to fall on just and unjust alike. Most important text to give us an idea of Jesus' own appreciation of his Abba. God's love does not alter according to our behaviour. May I say, obviously, what happens to us will, of course, it matters how we behave. Because if we're in the dark, we won't receive the light. But the darkness is our doing. There's no adjustment in God. God is love and cannot not love. God is faithful, true to who he is. Other texts, plenty of them, indicate this, and we've done this already when we saw Jesus' image of God. A beautiful text to summarise that, the fact that God is just, because that's the basis of all of this, is found in Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 26. And Paul says, God's justice, and you might find some text translated God's righteousness, dikaiosune in Greek, same word for both. God's justice that was made known through the law and the prophets, and now has been revealed outside the law, outside Judaism. Since it is the same justice of God that comes through faith, last week's lecture, faith, to everyone, Jew and pagan alike, who believes in Christ Jesus. If we open ourselves like a little, who he is, comes to all, a whole human race, Catholic spirit. Both Jew and pagan sinned and so forfeited God's glory. Remember that lovely text in Genesis, let us make man in our own image and likeness. We were made in the image of God. We were the glory of God, like a little baby is the glory of his or her parents. We are the one that radiates. We are meant to radiate the life-giving and love-giving of God. But when we sinned, we forfeited that. We shattered the image. But both Jew and pagan are justified. Now here's a simple meaning of the word. Brought to life. Made right. By the free gift of his grace, by being redeemed in Christ Jesus. In this way, God makes his justice known by showing positively that he is just and that he justifies everyone who believes in Christ Jesus. Let me pause for a moment. I hope that's clear to you, and if I've taken a long time to stress it, it's simply because I've heard, and I'm sure you would have heard, and we do it if we're not careful, we hear people balancing love against justice. If you speak about God's love, people will say, oh yes, but God is also just. Little do they know, all they're doing is saying what you've just said over again. God's justice is nothing other than his fidelity to love, and his judgments are always made accordingly. Though when people make that remark, they think they're getting a balance, as though one can balance love with anything. The scriptures don't attempt that futile task.